Good morning. Just to remind you, September the 9th, church work day, and as I understand it, we're going to do some damage with these bushes and trees. One other thing, I got a text that yesterday from Betty Boone. You may have gotten a prayer chain this morning, but Vernon was taken to the ER for breathing trouble yesterday. They drained another liter off his lungs and will be keeping him overnight. Pray for wisdom regarding putting in a draining tube. So that's what's going on with Vernon as of now. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and God, we thank you and praise you that you are the one who does all things for your glory, for our benefit, individually and corporately. We thank you that you are busy molding us into the image of your Son. And we ask, as we consider these things, that you would be with Vernon and Betty, and that they would fix their eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. That you would give Vernon the ability to bear witness of your mercy and grace, even under this trial. That you would give him respite, that you would enable him to continue to fulfill what responsibilities he has, and that you would give him joy in his relationship with his wife, and give us the joy of serving them and coming alongside to help. And we ask that you would be with Betty as she has this burden of taking care of her husband, that you would give her wisdom and strength, and that she would be wise, and that she would ask for help, and that she would be one who understands that she'll need a break. So we ask that you would work in and through all of this, that we who are your people would praise you and give you thanks for what we have in Christ, and that we would be diligent in demonstrating our love and care for our brothers. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand for the call to worship.
I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you.
I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand, and against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thank you. You may be seated. Reading from Psalm 119, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign Lord, and we ask that you would be with us now. We know that you are the one who understands what's going on and for what purpose. We ask that we would rest in you and that we would uphold our sister in prayer. We thank you for the Russell family, and we ask that you would use this so that they might be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that we who are your people might understand that all things, even this, is under your hand, and that we are those who need to rest in you and to trust you. We know that we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and that you lead us by still waters. You give us strength. When we go through the valley of death, your rod and staff are with us. So we ask, Lord, as we continue to fix our eyes upon you, that we would also intercede and pray for the Russell family at this time. We thank you for your mercies in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Our next thing was supposed to be a prayer of confession, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go on to the scripture reading. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you, and we come to you as men and women who are in great need. We need your love, your mercy. We need your grace. We need your sustenance. We need your power. In fact, Lord, we can do nothing without you. And we thank you and praise you that you are the creator and sustainer of life. You are the one who has called us out of darkness into your light. You are the one who sustains us from day to day. You are the one who provides for our eternal home. And that you have given us the Holy Spirit, whereby we call you Father. You've told us, Lord, to bring our prayers and petitions with thanksgiving and make our requests known unto you. So we ask, Lord, that you would, in particular, give Vernon and Betty wisdom, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us wisdom concerning coming alongside all of those in our congregation who are ill, laid aside, wrestling with various infirmities of the physical body, that we would learn how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, to encourage one another as the day of the Lord approaches, that we would be those who remember to intercede one for the other as we go about our business in a world that hates Christ. So, Lord, we ask that we would always and learn to pray without ceasing. We ask, Lord, that you would be merciful and gracious to all of those who are faithful, preaching your word this day throughout the world. We thank you that the gospel is the power of God, capable of transforming lives, drawing men out of darkness, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, drawing them to Christ, who is life himself. We ask, Lord, as we think of ourselves, that we would be those who would remember that we are ambassadors of Christ, that we are to speak so that others receive grace, that we are to speak the truth in love, that we are to be those who exalt Jesus Christ. We are thankful that you are the one who opens our mouth that we might show forth your praise. We are thankful, Father, that you are the one who enjoys our company, that you are tell us even in your word that you delight in the death of your saints, because then the saint is in your presence. So we thank you for these promises and words that you have revealed to us. And in the process, Lord, we ask that we would delight in your law, that we would delight in serving you, that we would serve you with gladness, that we would be those who would remember that all things will disappear, all things are under your judgment except that which glorifies Christ. So we ask that we would, whatsoever we do and say, whether we eat or drink, that we would glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's stand to sing "What Wondrous Love Is This." Seated. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Father, once again we meditate upon your word. It's your word, Father, and we ask that your spirit would illumine our minds by the light of your word, and that you would take captive our hearts by the power of your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is a command that we are to test spirits. John begins this portion by addressing us as beloved. We are beloved because we are in the beloved. Jesus Christ is the beloved Son of God, and you and I, by God's mercy and grace and the indwelling Spirit, are in Christ, and therefore we are beloved. But we have an obligation. We're not to believe every spirit. We are to test the spirits. I don't know how many of you know this, but I encourage you to test your pastor. Out there on the table, I leave a copy of my notes. I do it for a number of reasons. I do it because, number one, I expect you to be like the Bereans, to test me. You see, I could lead you astray like any other person. I could lead you down a rose path. You see, Jesus said there are two gates. One's a narrow gate, one's a wide gate. He said there's two paths. One's a narrow path, another is a broad path. He also said that the broad path leads to destruction. The narrow path leads to life. He said many go on the broad path. Few go on the narrow path. And there are many false prophets, as John says. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are many people who say that they worship Jesus Christ. And if you ask them who they mean by Christ, it's fascinating to listen to their definitions of the person of Christ. Many false prophets. I also leave these notes out there so that you will go home and that you will study the sermon. I expect you, as I expect me, to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. So I give you enough information for you to go home and spend a week chewing on the sermon, kind of like a cow chewing the cud. Why do I do this? Because I want you to be equipped to test the spirits. I want you to be able to stand up and defend the faith. I want you to understand when you hear that which is opposed to Christ. That's what John's interested in. John wants you to test the spirits, to determine whether the spirits are of God. Are they of God? I'm going to stop right here for a minute. Barry, can you give us a report? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for attending to this matter. There are many false prophets. And there are many false prophets who profess to proclaim the gospel. There are many false prophets that use the language that you would hear in this church. There are many false prophets who will proclaim what you think is the gospel, but if you really listen closely, it's not the gospel. It's an aberration of the gospel. This is a command. We are to test the spirits. And so he says, by this, you will know. By this, you will know the Spirit of God. He's going to give us information that we need to determine whether the spirit that is representative is of God or not. And if you read the New Testament, you'll understand that there's only two spirits, essentially. There's the spirit of God and the spirit of demons. It's either of God or it's of the demonic world. There is no neutral spirit. Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians 10, 14 through 22, speaking of the cup of the Lord or the cup of demons. So what is it that we have to know in order to understand whether it's the Spirit of God or not? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. What does he mean? Well, John, throughout this book, speaks of the person of Christ in terms of his deity and of his humanity. He weaves it in and out of his text. In chapter 1, he mentions the word of life that was with the Father. Jesus became flesh. The writer of the Hebrews says that he took upon himself the form of man so that he could die. Also in chapter 1, John says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are to fellowship with the Father, and we are to fellowship with his Son. And if we fellowship with the Father and with his Son, then we fellowship one with the other. Often what happens in situations is you find that people fellowship with one another and they forget to fellowship with the Father and the Son. But our fellowship is to be with the Father and the Son. And then we fellowship one with the other. And in verse 3 of chapter 1, we find the Word. Jesus Christ is the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. We dwelt and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But there is also the written Word. And the written word is what God has provided for us. As Peter says in his first chapter, we love him even though we don't see him. Well, how is it possible for us to love him even though we don't see him? We learn of him through the scriptures. We learn of him as the Holy Spirit works on us, revealing to us the truth out of the scriptures. In chapter 2, John writes, he says, our advocate is without sin. He's righteous. Here we learn that Jesus, the Christ, is without sin. In the first chapter, he talks about his deity. Here in the second chapter, he's talking about his humanity. That Jesus Christ is our advocate. That means he's our lawyer. He's the one who sits at the right hand of God interceding for us. That's the one who, when the law comes and condemns us, or Satan comes and condemns us, Christ Jesus is our lawyer, and he is the one who says, that's been paid for. He is righteous, which means he's without sin. He lived a life, 33 years, every day, in very much manner the same as you. He ate, he walked, he talked, he did all kinds of things, yet without sin. That includes a thought process. That means he did not sin in his mind. He was without sin. Yet he was tempted in every way such as we, yet without sin. And he is the propitiation for our sins, which means that he died a penal substitutionary death. He died the death that I deserved. That's what he died for. He died because I deserve to die. You deserve to die. All men deserve to die. Yet Christ Jesus died in my place, and he absorbed God's wrath for me. He is my propitiation. And Jesus is our high priest, which means he is our intercessor, which means he took his blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, which is in heaven, that's in Hebrews, and he shares the same nature as the Father. If the spirit does not get all of that, it is a false spirit. That's who Jesus Christ is. And false spirits will not get it all. False spirits will leave something out, or they'll change something. Jesus is the true God and the Son of God. He has been the true God from eternity. He was at creation. Colossians 1 tells us that all things were created by him and for him. He's creator. He was at Sodom and Gomorrah. When God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus Christ is God, and he was there. He is God, and he is the Son of God. Our confession includes something that Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we are saved. A false spirit won't necessarily include the Lordship of Christ. As a matter of fact, in these United States, there is a doctrine that is taught by various groups that it's possible to be saved, but then you have to accept the Lordship of Christ. It's two different processes. According to the scriptures, it's not two processes. Christ Jesus is Lord. And if you don't worship him as Lord, you're not his child. He is Lord. False spirits will take one or more of these items and twist them and change them or leave them out. The first thing that you need to know about a false spirit or any spirit is, what do they think of Christ? Notice the term Jesus Christ. The spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Let's just consider the name Jesus. The name Jesus, Hebrew equivalent, is Joshua. You know what Joshua means? Yahweh saves. And in Matthew chapter 1, when the angel spoke to Joseph, the angel said to Joseph, "You shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." He is Yahweh. Who's Yahweh? Yahweh is the one who revealed himself to Moses at the bush. Yahweh is the one who made covenant with the Israelites. Yahweh is the self-sustaining, eternal, covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Jesus is that God, and Jesus saves. Now, what about the term Christ? Christ, Jesus, speaks of his deity. Christ speaks of his humanity, because Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, the long-expected one. He is the anointed one. He is the king in the line of David. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to remember, when we say Jesus Christ, that all of that is wrapped up in his name. The person and work of Jesus is a litmus test for the truth, for spirits that are of God or the spirits that are not of God. And there are many who profess to follow Christ, who have redefined him. Notice that when Jesus came into the world, he came in the flesh. He did not come into the flesh. Why is that important? Because there is a heresy that preaches and teaches that Jesus, the deity, entered a human man at age 30. The human man lived, and then God entered him, and then God left him. That's a heresy. There are other heresies. If you want a list, I'll give you one. I'm not going to take the time to give them to you now. But if you get any of this wrong, you're not worshiping the Christ of the Scriptures. And this is the first test. Test the spirits. Anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. The second, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. We're told earlier in this epistle that we were to love not the world. False prophets, false spirits, the world loves them. They love them. You might ask, when you look at things, how does the world respond to this particular message? What does the world think? You might apply that to music, movies, preachers who claim to preach the gospel, who aren't. You can apply this. How does the world respond to this spirit? If the world loves them, they're not of God. The world hates God. But you and I, as children of God, have the indwelling spirit, and the indwelling spirit is able to enables us to overcome them, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You and I are regenerate. And as in the incarnation, the divine partook of human nature, in regeneration, human nature partakes of divine nature. You and I, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, have the mind of Christ. We are to see the world the way Christ sees the world. We are to be motivated by service to Christ. Paul writes in Corinthians that our ambition is to be well-pleasing to him. False spirits are of the world. And because they're of the world, we should recognize that, because we have the indwelling spirit whereby we call God Father. Not every human being is a child of God. The early 20th century, there was this God, the fatherhood of God, and everybody was proclaiming the fatherhood God. No, God is the creator of all men, but he's not the father of all men. He's only the father of those who are blood-bought, washed in the blood of Christ, who are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the second. Are they regenerate? Do they evidence the work of the Holy Spirit in their life? What is the third step? The third test. The false spirits speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. And he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. What is John saying? Notice the plural us. John speaking as an apostle. He is speaking for all the other apostles. If you understand the requirement to be an apostle, you'll understand then also that John is speaking for Christ. An apostle, if you read in Acts chapter 2, you'll see, or is it Acts chapter 1? Anyway, they were looking for an apostle to partake the place of Judas Iscariot. And here's a criteria to be an apostle. You had to be with Jesus Christ for his ministry. You had to observe his resurrection. That rules out a whole lot of people that run around the United States saying they're apostle so-and-so. They're not apostles. They can't be apostles. They're 2,000 years too late. John says that if you hear us, that is the apostles. How do we hear the apostles? The New Testament, written by the Apostle John, written by the Apostle Peter, written by the Apostle Paul, written by Matthew, written by Luke, who was a companion of Paul, written by Mark, who was a companion of Peter. It's the New Testament. False preachers, false spirits, false prophets will not be rooted in God's word. And if you're a good Berean, you will take what you hear and you'll go home and examine the scriptures and you'll go, aha, he's false. We are to test the spirits. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's go back and remember something. Many false prophets have gone out throughout the world. Many. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many are on that road to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there are that find it. We need to test the spirits. Not everybody who professes to be a Christian is a Christian. Not everybody who's proclaims to preach God's word does so, and you can test them. You can evaluate them. And therefore, you can avoid being caught up in their lies. We as God's people are to defend the faith. And we're to hold on to the faith. And we are to guard the faith. Testing the spirits is part of that process. And I will add, you have the opportunity to test me every Sunday. That's your responsibility. I am but a man and capable of leading you astray. It's only by God's grace that I don't. So I encourage you. This is your privilege, your duty, And it should be your delight to test the spirits. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we praise you and thank you for that which you have written for our learning. We ask, Lord, that we, as your people, would know Jesus Christ. We would know him in all of his glory as God and all of his majesty as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that we would know him as our King, our Savior, our intercessor, our friend, our elder brother. We ask, Lord, that we would be those who would be willing and able to gossip the gospel, speaking of our Lord and Savior who loved us and died for us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to sing, I am his and he is mine. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God, Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.